is like a white-footed quilt. A white-footed quilt. In other words, that type of woman is rare. So the very first stage in forming an Islamic household, and we're not going to leave the brothers out, sisters. We're not going to leave the brothers out. Inshallah. The very first stage in forming an Islamic household is a believing woman. How do you know that she believes? And what's the first aspect of her belief? The first aspect of her belief is knowing her Lord and knowing Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the proof for that? The proof is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a hadith narrated by Muawiyah ibn al-Hakim al-Sulami radiallahu anhu, collected by Imam Muslim, where he smacked his slave girl and he felt ashamed because she had misappropriated or lost one of his sheep. So he went to the Messenger of Allah and complained about his own shortcomings and defects of slapping her, because we know that it is not permissible to strike in the face. It is impermissible, prohibited, proscribed, mahzoor, haram, mamnoor, la yajuz, to smack even an animal in the face, let alone your children or your wife or your husband. He smacked her in the face and he felt ashamed, because this is an act that deserves tawbah. It necessitates tawbah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, easy you have, bring her to me. When Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam al-Sulami radiallahu anhu brought the slave girl to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did ask her, did it hurt when you got smacked? How did it feel? Is your face red? Let me see it. Do you want to smack them back? He asked her two questions. Only said, but she pointed with her finger up to the sky, and she said, "Fis-sama, Allah is above the heavens." He asked her the second question, "Man ana? Who am I?" She said, "Anta Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." She said, "You are the Messenger of Allah." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then turned to Muawiyah and said, "A'tiqaha fa'innaha mu'minatun." He said, "Man, you meant her. Free her because she is a believer. She is a believer." So this lets us know, brothers and sisters in Islam, that the first aspect to prove that you, sister, are a believer is that you have correct aqidah, is that you have correct creed and belief in this deen, that you know who your Lord is, you know what your Lord is, you know where your Lord is, you know who is Muhammad, you follow Muhammad, you love Muhammad. If you have these two aspects, then you are on the road to being a believing woman. You have the first most fundamental principle and aspect of being a believing woman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Arba'un min as-sa'ada." There are four things that are of the happiness, the things of happiness in this life. Al-mar'atu as-salihah, a righteous woman. That was the top on the list. Four things of as-sa'ada, the things of happiness. The top on the list is a righteous woman. What's the next one? وَالْمَسْكَنُ الْوَاسِعُ, and a spacious home. And you already know what that means. وَالْجَارُ الصَّالِحُ, and a righteous neighbor. How many of us have righteous neighbors? You live 2A, the person who lives 2B uses profanity all the time, you can hear him all day. The person in 2C constantly plays music. The person in 2D is blasting Louis Farrakhan records. You don't have righteous neighbors, you have wicked neighbors. And the last one, Al-Markab al-Hani. A good, running, riding animal. Or, in this case, a good running car. And I have to admit that one of these I don't have. For now. Inshallah. And it's definitely, I don't have a good running car. For sure. So alhamdulillah, I have a car. وَأَرْبَعٌ مِنَ الشَّقَاءِ. And there are four things of misery and wretchedness and sadness. The top on the list, you know what it is, right? Al-mar'atu su'. Of unrighteous, evil, wicked woman. And I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to stop right here, inshallah. And I have to do it, and I said from the beginning, I'm not here to humiliate anyone. I'm here only to deliver the message of Islam, and I try out all my level best to do it as respectfully, and as courteously, and as kindly, and as politely as possible. But I have to call a spade, and I'm calling a spade from the proof of Quran and Sunnah. One of the aspects of a wicked woman, a woman with bad character, is a woman who talks all the time. She talks. I'm not excluding the men. We're only talking about the women right now. It goes for the men too. And we mentioned this in the khutbah about 2 or 3 weeks ago. These are the people who are the farthest from the Prophet on his day of resurrection and the most hated by him. The people who are as-sar-sar-un. The people who talk too much. All the time they talk. Talk. Another aspect of a woman who is a bad character is a woman who gossips. Another aspect is a woman who backbites and slanders. Another aspect of a bad woman is a woman who carries tales which causes fitna among the Muslims. There is a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, it is authentic. Where he said, ثَلَاثَةٌ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَلَمْ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُمْ. There are three people who make dua to Allah, their Lord, the Sublime, the Mighty, and their dua is not answered. رَجُلٌ كَانَتْ لَهُ رَجُلٌ كَانَتْ تَحْتَ لَهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ سَيِّئَةُ الْخُلُقِ وَلَمْ يُصَدِّقَهَا. أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. A man who has a wife under him or a woman under his charge who has bad character and he doesn't divorce her. That man who has that type of woman, his dua is not answered by Allah. I'll say it again. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, three people make dua to their Lord and their dua is not answered. The first one on the list was a man who has a woman who has bad character and he doesn't divorce her. I'm not talking about a woman who one time she used profanity. She slipped and cursed. May Allah forgive her and all of us. Ameen. We're talking about a woman who constantly has this mannerism. And you constantly try to correct her in a nice, polite way. You yourself do it in a nice, polite way. You admonish her from the Book of Allah. You keep telling her, stop wearing perfume outside. Stop wearing perfume outside. Cover yourself better in a nice tone, in a respectful manner. And she keeps doing it. 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. If you don't divorce her, Allah doesn't accept your dua. He doesn't answer your dua. So one of the four things of wretchedness is al-mar'atu su', an evil woman. If you have an evil, bad character wife, you're not going to have an Islamic household. Because you can teach a man and you've only taught one person. But if you teach a woman, you've taught a whole nation. If you expect to have Islamic society become wholesome and clean, you have to have a good, wholesome, clean woman. Because through her comes everything. The second thing, وَالْجَارُ السُّوءَ, and an evil, wicked, unrighteous neighbor. وَالْمَرَكَبُ السُّوءَ. The fourth thing is a broken down or miserable riding animal. One meskenu tayyib, and a narrow, a restricted home. Meaning, it's a home that you don't have the zikr of Allah in that house. You don't invite the people of righteousness to your house. You don't invite the people of knowledge to your house, etc. And it also means that your house is restricted in the size, and Allah knows that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَمِنَ السَّعَادَةِ الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةِ تَرَاهَا فَتُعْجِبُكَ وَتُغِيبُ عَنْهَا فَتَأْمِنُهَا عَلَى نَفْسِهَا وَمَالِكَ. And of the thing of happiness is a righteous woman, that when you look at her, she pleases and excites you. And when you're away from her, you leave the house, whether to go to work or to school or on a trip to do dawah or whatever, she keeps herself safe and secure, yarhamakallah, and she protects your property. Let me give you an example of protect your property, because I think we may not have the full idea and concept of what it means by protect your property. It just doesn't mean she protects your bed, she protects your clothing, she protects your money from being stolen. It also means, for instance, you left with a $30 telephone bill, when you get back, you have a $600 telephone bill. How much tafsir of Quran could she have been given on that telephone bill? Allahu Akbar. If she bought $600 worth of a bill on tafsir, let her keep doing it. But I don't think so. This is not protecting your wealth, brothers. This is not protecting your wealth. And this is just a small example. وَمِنَ الشَّقَاءَ الْمَرْأَةُ صَرَاهَا فَتُصُوءُكَ وتحمل لسانها عليك وإن غبت عنها لم تأمنها على نفسها ومالك. And this hadith is collected by Ibn al-Hibban, and alhamdulillah, it is our policy here at Masjid al-Muslimin that we don't use hadith that are not authentic. This hadith is authentic, alhamdulillah. And from the things of wretchedness is a woman that when you look at her, she doesn't please you. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Let me stop right here. I have to take my kufi off and listen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed the men that when you go on a trip, don't come back at a certain time. Anybody know what that time is? At night time. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell the man, when he goes away, not to come back at night? Anybody know? Yes, absolutely. I said it. The Prophet went on, the brother said it, the Prophet went on to say, so that you can give her time to beautify herself, so you don't catch her looking like Freddy Krueger. You know? It's that guy, what is it, Friday the 13th, is that it? Nightmare on Elm Street, yeah. I don't go to movies anymore, I don't know. Alhamdulillah. You know, looking like one of these guys with the, you know, the hair going, you know, ping pong ping. You know, Allahu Akbar. So you give her time to do this. You give her a chance to get herself together, to groom her hair, to fix her face up, to make her clothes presentable, and this is something else we need to do too. So that you won't come into the house and she looks like, you know, whatever. Then the Prophet went on. He said, وَتَحْمِلُ لِسَانَهَا عَلَيْكَ. This is another example of wretchedness and misery. A woman who flings and chats and carries her tongue against you. A woman who flings and throws and casts her tongue against you. She has a tongue like a whip, and she's constantly whipping you with her tongue, with whatever type of speech or tone of speech. Did you know, and I know it's difficult because you're dealing with black and Puerto Rican men. I know this is difficult. I know it's difficult. I know how black men are. I'm black. I know. But when she speaks to you, He raises our voice. It's difficult not to raise your voice, because the brothers can get on your nerves. I know I'm a brother. But do you know that the verse in the Quran that talks about disobedience of the women, nushuz, the word nushuz comes from the Arabic verb nashaza, which means to rise. That's why Allah chose this word nushuz, that they translate as disobedience, because the woman is rising above the position of a woman over her husband, to his status. That's why it's called nushuz. So when she raises her voice at her husband, this is flinging or flinging her tongue at him. I know it's difficult, but sisters, you have to try with all your level best to control your voice, to control your tongue, and not fling it against your husband. And brothers, we have to try with all our level best to not make them go to that point. We ask Allah to make us like that. Ameen. Then the Prophet went on. وَإِنْ غِبْتَ عِنْهَا, and when you are away from her, she doesn't protect herself or your wealth. Let me start with the highest form of not protecting herself. And I doubt very much if any sister in here is doing this. I doubt it very much. The highest is letting someone else lie between her legs. وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ, while you're absent. وَلِعَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَالسَّلَامَةَ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and preserve us in this life and the next from any type of women like this or men like this. The least is what we mentioned before, not taking care of your property, etc., and your wealth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr, the Messenger of Allah said, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعٌ وَلَيْسَ مِنْ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا شَيْءٌ أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الْمَرْأَةِ الصَّالِحَةِ. This hadith is collected by Ibn Majah. That the dunya is nothing but commodity. And there is no commodity in the dunya, nothing, that is more excellent and more superior than a righteous woman. Now, sisters, I'm going to give you a hadith, inshallah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you of these women. This is a small description of the women of Jannah. Because if you have a woman who's destined to go to Jannah, you have a woman who's going to formulate and develop an Islamic household, no doubt. Because as Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, says, you will not be able to taste the sweetness of Jannah until you taste the sweetness of the Jannah here. You can't have the sweetness of the Jannah in that life until you taste the sweetness of the Jannah here. Now, listen to the women of Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِنِسَائِكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, shall I not inform you of the women of the people of Jannah? Listen to the women of Jannah. Al-Wad, Al-Wadud, Al-Walud, Al-A'ud, Al-Lati Iza Ghulimat Qalit La Azuqu Ghamdan Hatta Tarza. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first category of this woman is Al-Wadud, the woman who is extremely loving and brings love constantly and benefit to her husband. The woman who is extremely loving, compassionate, warm, and she brings benefit to her husband. Oh, and incidentally, the women of Jannah is not one of these things. It's not one of these things. It's all of these things. And we're not saying that if she's sufficient of one of them, she's not going to go to Jannah. But in this specific hadith, it's all of them. I repeat, if she's lacking one of them, it doesn't mean she still can't go to Jannah. But this hadith is indicating the women of Jannah. The women of Jannah. Al-Walud, Al-Walud means Al-Kathiratul Wilada. Means she has a lot of children. I want to stop right here. And I want to admonish and rebuke and upbraid and chide and revile and correct those sisters, those Muslim women who have bad character, who whisper, working for a shaitan, working for Iblis, who whisper to the women of righteousness, whom Allah has tested them with fullness of wilada, of having a lot of children, trying to incite and encourage them not to have a lot of children. Child, I don't know why you're having all them babies for him. I don't even have all them babies. You need to get your two, child girl. I don't know why. 8 children. You ain't gonna never be nothing. You can't go to school. You can't go outside. That woman who says that is a wicked woman. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged the men and the women to have as many children as they can, so that he said, I can be boastful and proud on the day of resurrection to have the most of my, the most followers. Don't you want the Prophet to be proud? The women of Jannah are al-walud, the women who have a lot of children and don't have any fear of taking care of them. For as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet said, do you not see how the birds leave their nest in the beginning of the day, and they return with their bellies full? They leave with their bellies empty at the beginning of the day, and they return with their bellies full. This is from Ar-Rahman, the Beneficent One. If he can do it for the roaches, if he can do it for the rats, if he can do it for the birds, he can do it for you. Don't worry about those 15 children. Just make sure that you teach them about their Lord and about their Prophet, and you give them good names. That's all you need to be worried about. And make sure that their character and their conduct is in accordance with the Book of Allah and the Sunnah. If you do that, you are way better than the sister who has one, tied her tomb, for whatever reason, got the slip, or whatever, for whatever reason, or how she did it, and she's encouraging you to get rid of yours. This woman is an ignorant, wicked woman, and she should be admonished. We're talking about the brother who may slip sometime with his tongue, may say something, he wrongs her. He may not give her her knife when he has more than one. For whatever reason, may Allah forgive the brother, ameen, and put them straight on the Salat al-Mustaqim, all of us. But when he wrongs her, she says, I will not sleep until you are pleased. This is very, very rare. Very, very rare, and any woman who does this, and any man who has a woman like this, he should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's on his way in establishing and formulating an Islamic household. Why does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourage the women and the men and the Muslims in general to do this? Because when someone wrongs you, it is a part of the sunnah, when there's enmity between you, to try to offer yourself to the person that has wronged you to make amends. That's why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of you are those who give the salam first. Listen to what Allah says in the Quran. اتبع بالتي هي أحسن فإذا الذي بينه وبينك عداوة كأنه ولي حميم. Repel the evil with that which is better, for surely he between whom you and him there was enmity, you will become as though you are close friends. وما يلقاها إلا الذين صبروا وما يلقاها إلا ذو حظ عظيم. But none is granted it except those who are patient, and none is granted it except the owner of the great portion in the next life. So when someone wrongs you, whether it is your husband, whether it is your wife, whether it is your brother in Islam, your sister in Islam, it's better to repel the evil with good. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for those of us who say we're of the dawah of Quran and Sunnah on the understanding of the Sahaba, for those of us who say we're on the manhaj of Ahl Sunnah, for those of us who say we're trying to be good Sunni Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sil man qata'aka, sil man qata'aka." Rejoin ties with the one who broke it with you. We connect the ties with the one who broke it with you. وأحسن إلى من ساء إليك. And treat benevolently, treat kindly, beneficently, the one who wronged you. Go to them, even though they wronged you, and treat them kindly. وقول الحق ولو على نفسك. And speak the truth even if it's against yourself. For when that brother, your husband, who's still your brother in Islam, wronged you, if you can control that rage inside of you, repel the evil with that which is good, you are on your way, sister, to formulating an Islamic household. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا صَلَّتِ الْمَرْأَةُ خَمْسَهَا وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَهَا وَحَفِظَتْ فَرْجَهَا وَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا دَخَلَتِ الْجَنَّةِ. Any woman who prays her five prayers and fasts her month and keeps her private parts protected and obeys her husband, she will enter into Jannah. And in another narration he says, it will be said to her, أُدْخُلِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَيِّ أَبْوَابِ الْجَنَّةِ شِتِّي. Enter, O woman of Islam, into any door of Jannah that you choose. In my reading of hadith over the past 16 or 17 years or more, I have yet found a hadith that tells the men of Islam they can choose any door of Jannah. Specifically, I'm talking about. Specifically, I have yet to find any hadith that tells the men, if they do a certain act, they can enter into any door of Jannah they choose. The only hadith that I find like this are the hadith talking to women. Praying your five prayers, fasting the month of Ramadan correctly, keeping your private parts pure, obeying your husband, you can go into any door of Jannah that you want, sister. Simple. So the first step, brothers in Islam, is selecting a righteous wife. And now I'd like to talk to the wali, to the guardian. Listen to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِذَا أَتَاكُم مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ خُلُقُهُ وَدِينُهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوا تَكُن فِتْنَةً وَفَسَادٌ وفساد في الأرض وعريض وعريض فساد. أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if anyone comes to you and you are pleased with his deen and his character, anyone that comes to you and you are pleased with his character and his deen, then you are commanded, the Prophet says, and this is a highly recommended commandment, to marry that girl to him. إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَلِيمٌ. If you don't do this, you will cause, you guardians, and you mothers and fathers, who don't want to marry the brother to your daughter because she's 16 and he's 32. Or when the brother has good character and he comes to you and he has good deen and he's Caucasian and you into this Afrocentric crap and you don't want to marry him to her, you, the Prophet of Allah said, you will cause fitna in the earth and widespread corruption. You, by preventing her to marry him, will cause fitna in the land and widespread corruption. As a side note, for the guardians and the mothers and fathers. And we already see it. I don't know how many times in the 6.5 years living in this city, brothers came to marry sisters and the guardians turned them away because the brother was a certain age. And that young lady, at least 7 times out of 10, ended up getting pregnant either by 5% or somebody else.
And we're going to talk about those people who do other things, like the brothers who abandon their wives and the brothers who wrong those young sisters. We're going to talk about that inshallah also. We're not going to leave that out. And may Allah forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings. Amen. The second thing and final thing we're going to mention tonight in formulating an Islamic household is the education of your wife, especially when she doesn't have those good qualities. These are some of the things that the man should be presenting or encouraging or inciting his wife to do, to develop an Islamic household. And of course, if he's inciting her to do this, he himself should be doing. Number one, Qiyamul Layl, standing up at night in tahajjud. It still amazes me how Muslims can be married for 5, 10, 15, 20 or more years, and they can count how many times they make tahajjud together as a couple. Those of us who are guilty, the hand in your heart raises. And this is, you should be guilty. How can you consider your home an Islamic household and you don't pray tahajjud with your wife? How can you consider it? How can you consider your house an Islamic house and you've been married 10 years and not one time, including Ramadan, you haven't prayed tahajjud with your wife? With your wife. Well, some people may say, well, I mean, you know, the sister doesn't want to get up. I try to get up. And her excuse, and maybe justified, that she's taking care of your baby, working all day in the house, and she's tired. But subhanAllah wa bihamdihi subhanAllah al-azim. If you really want to get the sweetness in this life, go get a little bottle of water. Sprinkle some water on your fingers. Because some people mistaken that hadith, they misunderstand the hadith, they take the whole istinja bottle or the bucket and they pour it on their wives, drenching her. No, it means take some water after you get up for yourself, you sprinkle it on her face so that she can get up and make the hajj with you. And this goes for the brothers too, because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the women who get up and make the hajj, they should do this to their husbands. Making tahajjud, brothers and sisters, out of the forms of worship is one of the very first things that we have to do that are necessary to establish an Islamic household. These are the last ones, inshallah. Recitation of Quran. Learning how to read Quran. Reciting Quran. You should incite your wives to learn the book of Allah. When I was in Al-Madinah, Just give me 3 minutes, inshallah. When I was in Al-Madinah, I met a brother named Ibrahim from South Africa. He's South African by ethnicity, but he lives in Toronto, Canada. I was amazed. This brother was a hafiz of Quran. And he memorized the entire Quran from his mother. That's not amazing, brothers and sisters. The amazing thing is that his mother was not a hafiz of herself. His brother became a hafiz of Quran at the hands of his ummah. And his mother was not a hafiz of herself. But she knew how to read well. Some of you sisters know how to read well. All you have to do is constantly go over the Quran with your children. And they'll memorize it. It's very easy. And we're going to go on in the classes to come on how you can practice doing that and the things that are the deterrent to that. And one of the deterrents to that, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I got rid of mine 2 years ago. You'll see miracles happen in your house if you get rid of yours. Get rid of your TV. Get rid of your TVs, brothers and sisters. I know it's difficult. Put yourself on a withdrawal program. Take yourself to TA. You know, you got AA, Alcoholics Anonymous,
Gamblers Anonymous, Sex Anonymous. Take yourself to Tea Anonymous, Television Anonymous, and go on a withdrawal program. Look at it maybe 3 times a week. Maybe then 2 times a week. Maybe then 1 time a week. Until you can get rid of it altogether. I've worked the statistics and then we're going to call you then. Listen to this. 65,000 sexual references broadcasted during prime time every year. The average American each hour watches 27 sexual references. Every hour on prime time, 9 kisses, 5 hugs, 10 sexual innuendos, and 2 sexual intercourses. That's not to mention, Satan comes into your house, and the angels leave because of the pictures. Because anywhere there's pictures, the angels leave, and as a result of the angels leaving, Satan and his jinn love what the angels don't love. So now you got Satan. Instead of the TV, play Philip Popular. Wallahi al-Azim. And this one I have to say, Wallahi al-Azim. Get rid of the TV, and you'll find yourself memorizing so much Quran, it'll shock you. I got rid of the TV 2 years ago. Before my daughter reached 4 years of age, she knew 30 surahs of Quran. Before she reached 4, she had memorized close to 30 surahs of the Quran. 30 at 3.5 years of age. And many of the du'a that we want to learn right now, when I got rid of that TV. Brothers and sisters, try your best. Wean yourself from that monster. We're not talking, that's beside the point that the angel's not coming in your house. The crap that's on there, subhanAllah. So inshallah, we'll come back after salah for questions and answers. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك وعلى اله واصحابه ومن استنى بسنته ومن والاه. If there's any questions, inshallah, we're going to, I think we should entertain them now so we can go home, inshallah. And once again, sisters, please forgive us. We're trying, you know, diligently to make the situation here more comfortable. Surely the yusra, inshallah, is going to come after the usra. The ease is going to come after the hardship. This is what Allah says in the Quran. We have to believe this, inshallah. So it's going to come, inshallah. If there's any questions, we'd like to take a few of them now and then allow everybody to go home. We don't want to tax them and burden them any more than what we're doing already. Now, yeah, go ahead. I can't hear you. Yeah. Oh yes, and please, inshallah, any of the classes that we're conducting, whoever is conducting them, has tried to keep the questions revolving around the subject, inshallah. One situation, one question is, what should a woman do when her husband has difficulty accepting the haq from her? For example, you tell your husband you can pray more than one surah after you pray al-Fatiha. You give him the proof of Quran and Sunnah, but not until a brother tells him he accepts it. Or tells him the same proof.
She feels that she can't obey him.
She feels that she can't obey him, so she disobeys him?
Disobeys him.
Because she can't
disobey him, so
she can't
get a divorce.
Why didn't she just ask for a
khutbah? Maybe she doesn't, because she knows the hadith of the woman who, without any valid reason, was getting a khutbah that she may know that they're afraid of.
Then why does she feel she can't obey? This is something we should deal with later. Because it's not clear. Not clear. The next question. When you get rid of your television, do you sell it, give it away, or throw it in the garbage? Or if another Muslim gave it to you, do you give it back or ask them to also do the same? First, I'd like to say that someone asked me, I was in some state in Texas or someplace, or in Pittsburgh or someplace, Pennsylvania, and someone asked me, they kept asking me over and over and over again, and I kept telling them over and over and over again, they asked me, is television haram? And I said, the pictures are haram. They kept asking me, is television haram? I said, no, the pictures are haram. They said, is television haram? I said, no, the pictures are haram. I'm not saying that television is haram. I'm only saying the pictures are haram. So someone may think that I'm playing around, playing games. No. As long as you have the television set off, it's not haram. When you turn it on, those images come on, it's haram. Alright? If you sell it, and it's not on, you're not selling something haram. If you give it away, and there's nothing on it, it's not haram. Lamar knows better. I wouldn't give it to another Muslim though. Why would you give it to a Muslim when it's going to cause them fitness? I also want to thank Allah for the guidance and inspiration that this class gave to me. Alhamdulillah. And Allah give you Jannah for giving the people the da'wah that the Messenger of Allah sent to us. Ameen. And I thank Allah that people are thankful. I thank Allah that people are thankful for the da'wah that the brothers here in Masjid al-Muslimin and other places in the city or otherwise are bringing to the people. I think we may take about two or three more because we have some small children. Sisters have to wear more clothes than us. They're hot. If the brothers put some money together before they leave, we can get an air conditioner working and maybe some other things, inshallah. And we can alleviate some of these problems, inshallah. What about what leads to the haram is haram? With reference to your, I must get a abbreviated statement on TV. Yes, if someone wants to say that the TV is haram because it leads to haram, I can see that. I can see them saying that. But, okay, I can see them saying that. But I won't say it myself. I'm not going to say it myself. All I know is that there are so many